Eurythmics and Thorn in My Side. It's 12 minutes past two.
What's your New Year resolution?
Be kind to myself.
Just be very careful with my money and make sure I don't get into any debt.
Not to eat much chocolate and put weight on.
Enjoy each day. I just retired and I want to make the most of every single day that I've got, that I don't have to worry about work.
Get fitter.
For myself, just to improve on what I did on 2009.
Lose a bit of weight, I think.
Just, I guess, to be a bit more positive within myself. I think we tend to get bogged down with all the negative things in our lives.
Celebrate New Year on BBC Radio Nottingham.
Enjoy your afternoon with John Holmes on BBC Radio Nottingham. BBC Radio
Nottingham. Now, the last time Paul Wilshire, historian, was with me, he convinced me the Dark Ages weren't dark at all. They were in very enlightened times. And then we decided we'd move on to the Doomsday Book. Because when you're in Nottinghamshire and you're reading histories, it doesn't matter where you go, you go into a village and it says, first mentioned in the Doomsday, as and such. And that's it. The Doomsday Book. It's hardly an interesting story. Is it important apart from the fact that it's an interesting... Is it just a benchmark for the time when William the Conqueror took over the country?
Yeah, in fact, it's a benchmark for 20 years after he was on the throne. But I think what marks the Doomsday Book out special for me is it's unique to the English, not the British, the English. It's the world's oldest survey of any country.
The world's?
Yes, indeed it is. No other country in the world has a survey anything like it. It is unique to the English, as opposed to the British. It's a catalogue, if you would, of who owned the land, rather than a catalogue of the people, but it's the catalogue of the landowners, but 29 to 30 generations ago. That's what it is.
Yeah, which is remarkable in particular. It's remarkable for historians to be able to look back on. But is it who owned the land after the land grab or during the land grab? Because William the Conqueror came along and took the lands off people like me, from what I gather.
He did indeed, and we'll see and hear a little bit about that in a minute. 20 years after he came to the throne, that's when the Doomsday Book was written, and we'll go into that in a little bit more detail in a minute. And it tells who owned the land in 1086 when he came to the throne. Yes, it does hark back to when he took the throne some 19, 20 years before, but it's a measure of who owned the land in 1086. And it talks quite extensively about Nottingham. And I've brought a little bit of information on that.
Yeah, I didn't realise this book was available, sub-book, if you like. So we'll come to that in a moment.
Yeah.
There were two Doomsday books then, I didn't
know. Always been two, yeah. Great Doomsday and Little Doomsday. Little Doomsday... It's a strange term, actually, because it's actually the bigger book, John. But Little Doomsday covers Norfolk, Suffolk and Essex only. It's a much cruder document, not very well written, written by up to six different scribes, very much in a hurry, about 6 months. And then you've got Great Doomsday, which covers the rest of the country, much, much more sophisticated document, written by one man, probably within 12 to 24 months, which is a remarkable achievement.
Yeah.
And they can both be seen today in the National Archive down at Kew. Recently been divided for the safety and preservation's sake, but we'll talk about that in a moment.
That's remarkable, the fact that it's survived. Because so much of our past, especially in the medieval times, was just thrown away because it was sort of... there was new order coming in. But the Doomsday survived. Not only has it survived, but it's in pretty good nick, isn't it?
It's in superb
condition. Superb?
Yeah, superb is...
Well, how come?
It justice. It's just been well looked after. It was produced on very expensive sheepskin parchment. Was beautifully written, particularly the Great Doomsday, almost certainly at Winchester, and I'll show you a photograph of the room where it was almost certainly written shortly. And it's just been well preserved. I think the thing to remember...
But ink fades, doesn't it?
It did. It was written in black ink, which was produced from oak galls. That's the little swellings and growths you see on the sides of oak trees. Well, they've broken down, and that's where the black ink came from. And over time, that black ink has faded slightly to brown, and I'll show you a very graphic illustration of that shortly. The red, because there's a lot of red for place names in the book, which neatly cross through to draw the eye. So, for example, Snottingham, as we were then, Snottinghamshire, which you see on the front of that book, that was written in red and then crossed through neatly in the book, so the eye went straight to it. And that red paint came from lead.
Right.
So those were the two inks. But you're right, the black ink does tend to fade to brown. But if you go and see the book at Kew, it's as clear as you are. It's in immaculate condition.
Yeah, not clear, but I wouldn't understand a word of it. It's in foreign language.
It's written in Latin. And sadly, as was typical for the time, the Normans tended to shorten a lot of their Latin words for speed, and that has happened. Well, what that meant is that it became very difficult to interpret and read, but people far more qualified than I to comment on the use of language have managed to do that over the last 800 years. They've had plenty of time to do it.
Yeah, true.
One man in particular, in 1783, he actually translated the whole book. He studied it for 40 years, would you believe, John, a man called Andrew Fowley, was employed by government. And it took him 40 years to understand that book before he produced the very first translation. So we're talking 700 years before it was translated into a language that we understand. And now you can view it online at a small fee, and you can actually buy it county by county and in front of you. I know you've got Snottinghamshire
one.
A book, yeah.
History from the Sources, General Editor John Morris. I've never seen this before.
Yes, you can buy it county by county. It is actually, John, the 11th century family album for the English. But it's also a legal document, and that's almost certainly why the Domesday Book has survived for as long as it has. Because it followed the king, it was a treasury document. And when the king wanted to dispute, or anybody was disputing with him, ownership of land, they referred to the Domesday Book. Which, interestingly, wasn't called the Domesday Book originally.
That's a good point. Yeah, why is it called Domesday then?
Well, originally it was known as the King's Roll, mm-hmm. or the Winchester Roll, or the Winchester Book.
Mm-hmm.
The Winchester Exchequer, it was called. Various different names.
So why was it called Domesday to us?
Because as disputes arose, people began to realise that whatever the Domesday Book said was final. It was the ultimate judgment.
Domesday.
Old English, Anglo-Saxon, dom, if you look at how Domesday is spelt, it's spelt like dome, not doom. Old English dom meant judgment.
Right.
Yeah, or decision-making. Hence, Dom's Day.
Judgment Day.
Day of Judgment, yes.
Uh-huh.
The English got to learn that whatever the Domesday Book said, it was the arbiter of all things, and there was no appeal against it. So they called it the Dom's Day Book, Domesday Book.
More from Paul Wiltshire in a moment. BBC Radio Notting, it's 20 past two.
The guitar man. Who's gonna steal the show? You know, baby, it's the guitar man. He can make you love, he can make you cry. He will bring you down and he'll get you high. Something keeps him going miles and miles a day to find. The guitar man. Who's on the radio? You go listen to the guitar man. Then he comes to town and you see his face. And you think you might like to take his place. Something keeps him drifting miles and miles away. Searching for the songs to play. Then you listen to the music and you like to sing along. You want to get the meaning out of each and every song. Then you find yourself a message and some words to call your own and take them home. He can make you love, he can get you high. He will bring you down and he'll make you cry. Something keeps him moving, but no one seems to know what it is that makes him go. lights begin to flicker and the sound is getting dim. The voice begins to falter and the crowds are getting thin. But he never seems to notice, he's just got to find another place to play.
Bread and Guitar Man, BBC Radio Nottingham at 23 minutes past. Paul Wiltshire still with me. We're talking about the Doomsday Book, and in a moment the rest to us here in Nottinghamshire. So he did it to, well, he just did it so he wanted to know what he owned, didn't he?
Yeah, actually, that's spot on. That's exactly why he did it. But there was a reason behind it initially, John, and that was cash. He needed cash. We all know about Hastings and the Battle of Hastings and how the Normans came, conquered and basically took over the country from that point on and replaced the English culture. But in actual fact, after 1066, England was invaded, or at least there were attempts to invade us, by other people, particularly the Danes, the Vikings.
Oh, right.
On our east coast. And we know that in 1069, 1070 and 1075, there were serious raiders from very ambitious rulers who wanted to take England over from William.
Why was it valuable to have this land, then?
Because England was one of the most prosperous countries in the known world at that time, particularly the wool trade.
You see, that's another thing. We're led to believe that it all began with William the Conqueror, and that here we are, we've got a prosperous country before he arrived.
No, as we talked about last time, we look at the days of Alfred the Great and post-Alfred the Great and our Anglo-Saxons. Very, very efficient administration. We had very well-established shires and they were very well maintained, wonderful administration, which could harness that wealth, and that was the key, because why else would William the Conqueror want to come here?
Yeah, sure.
All the trouble that he did. And the same with these ambitious rulers. Well, in order to defend against those rulers, William needed cash, and the only way he could get cash was through tax. So what he did was, in Christmas 1085, he took all of his leaders over to Gloucestershire, and he had a meeting in a palace, one of the old Anglo-Saxon palaces in Gloucestershire, and decided over Christmas 1085, how am I going to raise this cash? You know, who should be paying me tax? How much tax am I getting? I don't know. And it was then that they agreed, well, let's undertake a survey around England, and it was England. Let's see who owns the land and who's paying you tax and who should be paying you more tax. Because in real terms, John, as you said at the beginning, that's exactly why he started the Doomsday Survey.
And I noticed that from some of the information you've given me, when it was all finished, there was quite a ceremony, and you go to where that ceremony took place. Old Sarum, is it pronounced?
Yes, Old Sarum is
and
a half miles outside Salisbury.
Yeah.
It's an Iron Age fortification, an enormous fortified ditch, which is quite clear today, very, very close to Stonehenge, in similar form to Stonehenge. They built on top of that a Norman castle. And on the 1st of August, 1086, the year in which the Doomsday Book was completed, it would seem that William the Conqueror was given the draft form of the Doomsday Book. It was presented to him there. And today you can go to the outline, the ruins of the cathedral, where he took an oath from all his landowners. And, of course, it was called the Salisbury Oath. And it was the last time, really, that he was here in England, because he was dead the following year. So we know that for a fact.
And was it Henry took over?
William the Second.
William the Second. Yeah. Henry was after you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But William the Conqueror took an oath on the 1st of August, 1086, at Old Sarum, and I've put on here a photograph so you can get some sort of idea of the sort of place.
You can't see that on
about.
The radio, you see.
No, of course not.
Now, in the Doomsday Book, the Nottingham one, this is what I want to get to in a few moments. We'll have the news in a moment. But there's all the lands of people like William Peveril. And if you live in Woolerton, for instance, just as a little taster, in Woolerton, young Wolfsey had 1.5 ploughs of taxable land for 12 oxen. Warner, William's man, had 1 plough and 7 freemen and 4 villagers who had 4 ploughs. There we are. That was the Worth of Woolerton. It's changed a bit, hasn't it? More in a moment. BBC Radio Nottingham with me, John Holm. News at 2:30, or the news headline, followed by the latest travel. want to get in touch with us to pass on other travel news to other motorists, it's safe to do so. And do please give me a call. I'm John Holmes, 01593434344. Marvin Gaye. Great Marvin Gaye. And I heard it through the grapevine. It's 2:30. BBC Radio Nottingham News headlines. The bodies of three British soldiers killed in Afghanistan have been flown back to the UK. A consultation started on abolishing some hospital parking charges in England. And in cricket, Nottinghamshire Stuart Broad and Graham Swan have taken three South African wickets each in the fourth test in Durban. South Africa have moved on to 76 for 6 in Durban, where bad light has stopped play. Let's hope it doesn't let them off the hook. Nottinghamshire's weather now. Cold and windy this afternoon, with rain spreading north, highs of 4 Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit. Sleet tonight, snow on high ground, and icy with temperatures around freezing. And tomorrow, Wednesday, stays cold and cloudy with further sleet or snow.
BBC Radio Nottingham. Travel.
Still very slow. If you're heading on Glasshouse Street, that's heading outbound of Nottingham. Slow moving around Lower Parliament Street, so just something to watch out for, really. All the queues have returned back to normal on the northbound M1. That was all because of the roadworks. Now, that was also between junction 25 and 26, the A610 turn-off. And if you are still making your journey through West Bridgeford, Repton Road remains closed off. It's because of roadworks between Eaton Road and Malvern Road, and could still affect your journey if you're heading between Loughborough Road and Musters Road. Call in with your travel news now on 01159 343 34, and there'll be another travel update in half an hour.
Tell you the way I'm feeling. tried to hurt you. He's explaining the way I'm feeling for all the jealousy I caused you. The snake's the reason why I'm trying to hide. As for all the things you taught me, it sends my future into clearer dimensions.
Stars, Simply Red. Doomsday Book is our subject. Paul Wiltshire, the historian, local historian, is my guest. So let's get down to Nottingham, Nottinghamshire. As I say, all proud villages, you read this in villages. As mentioned in the Doomsday Book, are there many mentions of Nottinghamshire Doomsday Book?
Oh, yeah. Pages, or the correct word is folios, but pages 280 to 293 of the Great Doomsday, large with the two books, are devoted to Snottinghamshire. That's how it was referred to then. Now, you have to bear in mind that 13,400 place names are mentioned in Doomsday Book. It contains 2 million words in 413 pages. It's an elegant document, very sophisticated document. And the way it's divided is that it addresses each county, county by county, obviously. And then, in each county, it just gives a list of the landowners, all starting with the king. And we know that in Nottingham, there were 37 landowners, the largest being King William the Conqueror.
I'm surprised there were so many.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed.
So who were the ones?
Well, first of all, the Doomsday Book starts with an introduction, if you like, a brief summary of Nottinghamshire, and it talks firstly about the borough, the burr of Nottingham, the Alfred the Great's era, the great fortified centre of Nottingham, which would have been very small, and it tells us there that they found 136 men living there straight away. And then it gives us some wonderful little snippets and tells that these men were accustomed to fish in the River Trent, and now they make a complaint because they are now forbidden to fish from 1,000 years ago, which I find quite
forbidden to fish.
Amusing. We know that before 1066, when William the Conqueror brought his Normans over, Nottingham paid £18 in taxation to the king. Now, 20 years later, they pay £30 and £10 from the mint, the pauper's box.
Far too much.
Yes, it tells us delightfully that in Nottingham, River Trent and the dike, the road to York, are thus so protected. If anyone hinders the passage of ships, or if anyone ploughs or makes a dike within two perches of the King's Road, he has to pay a fine of £8, which must have been a phenomenal sum at that
What's
time.
A perch? I know the distance.
Yeah.
Do you know what a perch is?
No, I don't.
I don't know. Rods and perches, I've forgotten.
We do know a little bit about customs as well, because the Doomsday Book does give us a little hint about customs, and it talks about Nottinghamshire and in Derbyshire. If the king's peace given by his hand or seal is broken, a fine will be paid through the 1800s. Now, 100 is a division of a shire. So Nottingham, we now know, was divided into 1800s. And each of those hundreds would pay the king a fine of £8 if the peace was broken. So that's how peace was enforced. The Doomsday Book then goes on to list the landholders.
Right.
And in some respects, that's quite gritty to go through that. But basically, we know that there were 37 of them. And
of course, a lot of the names still exist. I mean, like, I've noticed there was William of Peveril there. I mean,
yes,
their family names we know.
Yes, I mean, I won't go into all the different landowners, but I'll just whip through some of the property that we know King William the Conqueror personally held.
Right.
And that was Bassetlaw, Markham, Audsall, Botham, Elksley, Farnsworth, Broxtowe, Mansfield is mentioned, Warsop is mentioned, Edo, Willoughby, Grimston, Carlton. Carlton is mentioned.
There's not much left, is there?
No. The king owned most of the land, certainly in Arnold, and then Woolerton, as you hinted earlier, and Bingham. In Bingham, Wapentake, or Wapentake was a section of land, a Danish term. And so most of the land was held by the king, and that was the whole point, of course.
Yeah.
And this, of course, this Doomsday Book, it actually followed the King John, because it was a financial ledger.
Yeah.
And it accompanied the king. But eventually, as the country became less and less safe, and certainly during the reign of King Richard and King John, they sent the book down with the Exchequer to Westminster, and it spent most of its life down at Westminster Abbey. And when, as I say, then it was known as the Winchester Roll. And it was kept in the chapter house at Westminster Abbey for many years in a medieval chest, and I know you've seen a photograph of the original chest. It survived remarkably, and just like a nuclear explosion or a nuclear missile, you needed three keys to open it. Two different men had to have a set of three keys to open this medieval chest.
So on the local level, though, that book that you brought, and it's available in the library then, is it?
Yes, it is, county by county, yes.
That's really handy for people's research, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. At a cost of £8, you can purchase it county by county for the National Archive at Kew. And I know that normally their turnaround time is within 2 days.
Really?
So you make an order, yes, and you've got it county by county. I've got several. I've certainly got Wiltshire, my family name. I've got Surrey, where I used to live, and I've also got Nottinghamshire. And as you say, it is quite a useful resource document. What is remarkable, to finish off, is that we now know that it was kept in it's kept at the National Archives, but it also was kept in this original medieval chest, which has survived. But in 1954, they were rebound and for the sake of their preservation. They were getting too dense. So they rebound them. Little Doomsday was divided into three separate documents, and Great Doomsday was divided into two. So now there's a total of five books from the original script. And that's just so that they're preserved for following generations.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yes, it's also incredible. It actually wasn't translated until 1783.
Yeah, so you're saying, yeah. So that's the book. Fascinating document. You can get your hands on the details, especially if you're doing some research into your village. It's all there. It's amazing.
Yes, indeed it is.
You don't have to actually go back to the original either, let's say that. Next time, we want to talk about the Black Death, don't we?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Ah, that sounds like a good one.
Yes.
Or a bad one, whichever way you look at it.
Yes, three forms, the bubonic, the septicemic, and the pneumonic plague, collectively known as the Black Death, first came here in Nottingham from 1348. In my opinion, the greatest disaster ever to visit humankind, and certainly England. And are we talking about some of the incredible consequences when we lost between 30 and 60% of our population?
Paul, thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome.
BBC to Nottingham, it's 17 minutes to 3.